Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. Settle in here after the Gus Bradley radio show. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman here in Jacksonville.
Don't be trying to steal my drink over there,
I would
JP.
I don't. Yeah, I got my own logs.
I might steal yours. How about that?
How about that? Well,
where's Baselli at?
Go
it's,
up
it's
to
like, where's Waldo?
He's in Baltimore in the Inner Harbor tonight, M&T Bank Stadium, the home of the Ravens. They host the Cleveland Browns. So the former Browns against the current Browns tonight.
This could be tonight. This could be the night.
This is the night the Browns break the winless start.
Huh? It could be.
You said that last week, too.
Well, I did that just because, you know.
Oh, really?
Trying to get a game on you and
Baselli
didn't work. I did pick the Browns over the Cowboys in a stunning upset. But then I will say that I did have Ezekiel Elliott as my fantasy player. So it was all kind of done to maybe trying to find a way to steal a game and look like a genius. But didn't look like that.
Not quite. No. That's okay, though. We'll get to Baselli coming up once we connect with him. But Texans-Jaguars coming up this Sunday at Everbank Field. There's a little balance in the offense all of a sudden, at least last week. The run game was there. The question now is, can they replicate this week to week? Is this going to be the offense we see, a balanced attack with a strong run game and more improvement from the quarterback and ability to make some plays?
Well, the quarterback, first off, he was better, but he's still got to be better than that, you know. It was a game that was kind of interesting because you're kind of conflicted when it comes to the quarterback. There were throws that looked really good. And I said this during the Gus Bradley show, the throw to Marquise, you know, on that slant route. I mean, perfectly thrown where Marquise has his hands out, right there, on the money. The throw to Hearns on the 4th-and-1, on the money. Hearns got to make the catch. And the throw to T.J. Yeldon. And it's a short throw. But that, I think that one kind of illustrates some of the things that Blake hasn't been doing up until this game. The short stuff, the guys weren't being hit in stride to where there were opportunities after the catch. They were having to adjust their bodies to make the catch, and they've lost all their momentum, and then they can't do anything with it. And in this game, I thought there were plays that were nice. He hits guys in stride. But then he had the interception to the linebacker. He's right there in the line of sight. The one that was nearly intercepted by the safety, right there in the line of sight.
In the end zone you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, and then the one to Steven Nelson, they're trying to hit an out and up to, I think it was Allen Hurns. And first of all, it's a bad read, and it's an underthrown ball. And Steve Nelson had an opportunity to dive and catch that and probably could have had it. If they make those catches, okay, they make those catches, you're talking about a 3-interception game.
That's right.
And that you would be going, throwing coach? What do you bring the throwing coach in for?
Right, yeah, sure.
You know, but they dropped him. You know, and he had the moments, you know, that where he looked good. So, I mean, it's tough to feel one way or the other, but I can tell you this. Mm-hmm. It's not good enough. It's got to be better. He's got to get better this week. If this team is going to be able to compete in the last 8 games, he has to play better. Because I think the team as a whole played better, with the exception of the fumbles by Brian Walters, by Chris Ivory, by T.J. Yeldon. You know?
It just looked cleaner, more like a real football game.
Gus said that. He said, look, you know, and to paraphrase him, because the impression I got, it looked like a football team.
Right.
You know, and if you look at that game, you forget the record, which you cannot do. But if you did and you just evaluated this team, you'd say that was a pretty good performance, but you just can't turn the damn ball over, right?
Yeah.
And feel good about it.
Absolutely.
And you'd say -4, long punt return, hold by Tinker, could it be considered minus five because the field position was that with the punt return and the defense to do what they did? I don't care if they're missing 10 starters on the Kansas City's offense. Still a great job. 1-for-14 on third down, 0-for-3 in the red zone, 231 yards of offense allowed. That's a great job. I don't care how you want to turn it, you know, spin it. That's a well-played football game by the defense. It could have been a great game by the defense if they were able to find a way to get takeaways, yeah, which they're not doing.
The average starting field position on the scoring drives for Kansas City was the Jacksonville 32-yard mm-hmm. line. That tells you what happened. And to give up four field goals out of those five, well, that's pretty remarkable.
They got 13 points out of the four takeaways, and then three of those four takeaways, not counting the punt return, three of the four true takeaways were in not point-blank range, but pretty doggone close.
Now, skeptics will say, oh, it was the backup quarterback, the third running back.
The backup, the backup quarterback that the week before and the week leading up to the game, many people thought that this might be a game in which he ends up supplanting Alex Smith as the starter because of his performance the previous week against the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
You know, a running back in Charcandrick West, who's a good football player, was their second leading rusher going into that game anyway. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people saying, well, he's a third-teamer because of Jamal Charles. Well, Jamal Charles hadn't played all year.
All year long, yeah.
You know, he was a good back, had a good yards per carry average. Has been a staple with their offense going into the season because of the injury to Jamal Charles. They were missing a guard. Big deal. He was a rookie, and the guy that stepped in for him, probably just as good as him.
Yeah.
They did lose Macklin. And then Travis Kelce, because he's a moron, gets himself thrown out of the game for acting like a moron.
Yeah. Well.
I mean, that was terrible
by
him.
Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland on the Inner Harbor tonight. Thursday night football, the Baltimore Ravens at 4-4, the Cleveland Browns at 0-9, and Tony Boselli is the analyst for Westwood One Radio, and he joins us right now from the broadcast booth. Mr. Boselli, good evening.
Good evening, Jeff. Did you just say moron? How'd you say it? Say moron again.
Moron.
Moron. I like that. He is one. That was great.
Oh, he is. We'll have to see.
I've never seen anything like that. I mean, first of all, if you just did to where you pulled your towel and you threw a flag at the official and you just did that and you didn't prance around before the game, you didn't act like, you know, I'm a superstar in pregame introductions, and if you didn't on your way leaving the field signing autographs and taking jersey stuff off and giving it to fans, if you just threw the towel in response to the official – I would have liked it.
That's pretty funny.
I probably would have liked it.
I was going to say, I got to be honest with you, I got a chuckle out of the throwing of the flag. I thought that was very, very.
But
well
when you
done.
Add everything else to it, Tony,
no,
he
it
looks
was
like
too much.
A
moron.
A moron.
Yeah, moron. Now, and the biggest thing is, it was a dumb play by him. I mean, that's a contested football game that you took your team out of point blank scoring range, maybe get a touchdown there, and you get a third, you know, two 15-yard penalties. You backed your team up 30 yards and put them in a bad position. So not only was it just silly and uncalled for, but it was really a dumb situational play by a veteran player that you're counting on if you're the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, Tony, the run game over 200 yards last week. What was different last week from the weeks previous?
A lot. I thought the scheme was very well done and well designed from a formation standpoint and attacking the defense based on what they thought they were going to get and how they did. I thought it was just very well coordinated from run and pass and everything. And then on top of that, it was executed better. One of the things that Jeff and I had been talking about is the clear mental errors that you could see watching the tape at times, especially in the run game, of aiming points and getting to the right backers and just really blatant things. And watching the tape, I didn't see any of that. And so whether it was just communicated better or it was simpler for them, I'm not sure. But they executed it much better.
Now the question is, can you replicate that moving forward?
Well, it's not going to be easy. Houston Texans got good defense. I mean, look, they're not a great team against the run. A big question going into this game, and I think, you know, Gus Bradley said they're expecting everybody to play for the Texans, but Vince Wilfork has not practiced yet this week. And he's a big part of their ability to stop the run. So if he's not available, it's going to make it kind of tough for the Texans because they don't, they're not coming into this game being a great team against the run. But the one guy, Tony, that me and you have been watching for the last couple of years, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We've watched him for the last couple of years, Jadeveon Clowney. We didn't think much of him the last 2 years because you could tell that he wasn't healthy. This year, he looks like the player that we were kind of going, wow, what a freak, when he was at South Carolina. He looks like he is an impactful player like he was in college.
Yeah, and he's not just doing it against the pass. I mean, he's very good against both. I mean, he's a physical presence out there that you have to account for. And I know probably in Houston they're just, you know, shaking their heads. It's like, finally we get this guy going and we lose our best defensive player in J.J. Watt, because if the two of them were working together, it would really be some major issues. You combine that with Whitney Mercilus in the pass game. I mean, they got a lot of good players on that side of the ball. They're not playing the run as well as maybe they have in the past. And, you know, so going back to your question, JB, can you replicate it? I don't think you replicate 200. You don't plan on 200-yard rushing attacks, but you sure hope, and you better be able to replicate it from a standpoint of being consistent with the run, because that's how this team has to play. The quarterback is not ready, and this has been my contention where everyone says they need to speed it up, they need to spread it out. Blake Bortles is not ready to do that and win games that way. That's just my opinion. For them to win, they got it. The formula is what they did against Kansas City minus the turnovers.
Tony Boselli with us from MNT Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland.
That's a great stadium, by
the way.
It's
a perfect football stadium.
This booth, Jeff, you know the booth. I'm sitting in here right now. I mean, it is the perfect height, right where you want to be. And maybe not the best game as far as matchups with the 0-9 Browns, but if you're going to watch a football game, this isn't a bad place to do it.
All right, so when you go to these games on Thursday, do you travel the day of?
No, I typically take the last flight out of Jacksonville. So I got here at midnight last night.
Okay, so you didn't have an opportunity to get any crab cakes or anything good?
No, I don't.
You had all day today.
Well, actually, I spend, because doing two games a week, you know, my preparation is crammed, and I got the Monday night show and all the stuff getting ready for that with the previous game, and then also high school football. So I actually spend – I start doing a little bit of work on the Thursday game, obviously, before I leave Wednesday, but then I spend probably – 7 to 8 hours just in my room doing nothing but prep for this game.
Mm. Well, you missed out on some great crab cakes, man. You should have gotten crab cakes while you were there.
But we've done that plenty of times, Jeff. So it's not like it's we've done that before.
I remember the feed bag we put on in the preseason in 2012.
In Baltimore.
You guys remember that, yeah.
Yeah, we put it on good.
The Rusty Scupper restaurant.
Yes.
It was awesome.
Speaking of, and this has nothing to do with anything, but you know what's coming right around the corner, Jeff, is
the Anchor Bar.
Anchor Bar.
You know it. The Anchor Bar.
Jeff and I will be at the Anchor Bar, and we will put a hurting on whatever.
I have never
seen whatever's on the menu, that'll be more food eaten and consumed that evening.
I honestly, Tony, I can say that besides Paul Frey's back from his playing days when he had Graves' disease, and so he had this accelerated metabolism, and so he was eating like for three people. Besides Paul Frey's back in the day, I've never seen a human being eat as much as you did that night at the Anchor Bar.
I'm going to try to match it this year.
We had everything.
Pizza, everything.
Cheese steaks.
They brought the menu.
Yeah,
we'll have that.
Yeah, we'll take the first four, and then we'll take four of these, yeah, and then three of them, and just put it on the table anywhere.
Yeah, I probably took a couple years off my life that night. There's no doubt about it. I'm probably not getting them back either.
There's two more coming.
It was good.
Hey, we'll come back and break down the Jags' defense against this Texans offense. Brock Osweiler hasn't quite lived up to the hype so far. Limited tickets are available for this Sunday's game against the Texans. It's the annual Salute to Service game, and to purchase, visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman in Jacksonville, Tony Boselli from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland for Thursday Night Football. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. Jags and Texans Sunday at Everbank Field, a relatively rare game in the stadium for the Jags. over the last couple of months.
Feels like it, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I'm looking forward to this game for a lot of reasons. One, it's a division game, but the salute to service game, I love. The military presence, I mean, this is a Navy town, and it's awesome. And so I always love this game. And, Tony, I think you're on board with it. I wish, you know, when the Jaguars had the uniform change, I was hoping for, like, at that time when I saw him, I was like, gosh, you guys remember me talking about, I would love to have seen some type of incorporation, and Joe was with me on this, of, you know, the Navy digital camo, mm-hmm. of having that as kind of your alternate uniform, and then have the matte black helmet. But, I mean, wouldn't Navy digital camo be cool as part of the uniform?
Oh, absolutely. Just as one of the alternate jerseys,
yeah.
That'd be really cool. I mean, just because, as everyone knows listening, I mean, the military is such a huge part of the Jacksonville community. It always has been and always will be. And so I love that. I mean, the team does such a great job of honoring the military and military appreciation. And, I mean, not just for this game coming up, but year-round, I mean, they're involved in. But yeah, I agree. It would have been fun to see one of the alternate jerseys try to incorporate that a little bit.
Be the game to wear it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Now the Jaguars defense. Osweiler, big money. What, $17 million? And he's got 9 touchdowns and 9 picks this year. Mm-hmm. They've got a run game a little bit in Houston. Hopkins would love the ball a little bit more on the outside, but who? What number one receiver wouldn't want the ball more? That's kind of how that works. But let's start with Osweiler.
Yeah, let's start with him.
Lived up to expectations.
But, you know, look, JP, it's his 16th game that he's going to be starting this week. You know, and it's not like he went and said, oh, you know, he walked in to the bank and said, I'm going to pay myself $17 million. Okay? He went into free agency, and that's what somebody was willing to pay him. So you can't evaluate Brock Osweiler as a quarterback by just saying, well, he's making $17 million. He's not a good enough player. That's the same thought process that I think a lot of people used to evaluate, or some people used to evaluate, Tyson Alualu. Well, he was a first-round pick, top 10 pick. You know, he's just not getting anything. He's not a good football player. Well, no. Tyson's a good football player. You know, he didn't pick himself in the first
That's
round.
Right.
Brock Osweiler didn't pay him $17 million a year. He's in a 16th start. He's still got a lot of developing to go. He's actually been okay for the Houston Texans. Is he good enough? No. Are they expecting him to be better? Yes, and he will be in time.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jeff, on the aspect of, I mean, the money is what it is. It's the way free agency works. You overpay for guys that you want, especially at certain positions, quarterbacks and one of them. They were desperate, and they paid the money to get him. With that said, it is too early to judge still because he has not started a lot of football games, but he is not playing like the franchise quarterback they were hoping they were getting. That there's no, I mean, nine touchdowns, 9 interceptions, played some games, have been really poor. Part of it's not his fault though, completely. That offensive line has not been great. They've been really beat up with a lot of injuries. They don't protect very well overall. But he has not played great. He has been very average, and you know. But being average has gotten 5 wins so far. So, you know, if you're a Texans fan, I'm sure they're thinking, if we can just get a little bit better play out of our quarterback, this division should be ours pretty easily.
Todd Wash the other day did not commit to putting Ramsey on Hopkins one-on-one, and what do you expect with Hopkins?
He's going to follow him.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, if they followed him last year with Devon House, why would they not this year with Jalen Ramsey?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't blame for Todd for not saying it. Well, why would you start telling people what you're going to do game plan wise?
Right. So, and interesting to watch. What a matchup that'll be.
It's going to be a great matchup, and it's going to be a matchup that you expect to watch for many years to come. And you know, the first one out of the gate's going to kind of set the tempo for it. You know,
Jeff, I hope he learns from his matchup with Alshon Jeffries, playing a big physical receiver. That's what Hopkins is. I think he's better than Jeffries, don't get me wrong. But Jalen needs to trust the fact that he's faster. He has more speed than Hopkins, and that he doesn't necessarily have to play over the top of him, because where Hopkins kills you is on those comebacks and those back shoulder routes and those contested balls. So if you start playing over the top too much, it's going to be a long day.
That's pretty amazing to look at Hopkins' numbers. He's averaging a little over 10 yards a catch. I mean, That's not very good for him. I mean, usually his numbers are higher than that. Mm-hmm. He's getting a lot of balls. What has he got, like 40 balls? He has, 40 catches, 434 yards, so 10.9 yards a catch, three touchdowns. You know, which is a little under the pace that he had last year. But the crazy thing is he's like over 3,900 yards receiving in his fourth year. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, can you imagine how good he could be if he had a stable quarterback situation for the first 4 years? But you could probably say the same thing for Andre Johnson, because Andre Johnson kind of went through the same thing in his first 4 years.
Yep.
But, you know, Tony, I will say this. Jalen would have to be a little bit more careful about trusting his speed with DeAndre Hopkins as opposed for a guy like Alshon Jeffries. Alshon Jeffries is, you know, what is he, a 4.65 guy? DeAndre Hopkins is one of the faster guys that there is in the league, so he's got to be careful.
Yeah, but he's also he's not the deep threat that, I mean, even on that team, that's why they got Will Fuller from Notre Dame in the first round, because they wanted that speed guy outside to stretch the field. I mean, Hopkins is a big, powerful human being with a very long, long player who is great at contested balls, and he's going to work, you know, the deep ends, the comebacks, the back shoulder stuff, and if you start, you know, that's where he's going to kill you. And when you're playing man pressing against him, I mean, he relishes those opportunities. So it's going to be a great matchup.
Not the year to be a Texans offensive lineman. They've had a lot of injuries up front. Brown is back at left tackle. He was out the first number of weeks of the season. I think he's been back for a couple of weeks
now. He missed the first four.
Yeah. And, you know, the center who was going to start, he was a rookie, but he was going to start center. He's out.
Yep.
In camp. The right tackle, I believe, went down with two knee injuries at the same time.
Derek Newton tore both patellar tendons at the same time.
How'd that happen, Jeff? How'd he do it?
I don't know. You know, I haven't seen that. I got to go back and try to find that play on the film, because I watched two games, and the game that I watched, he was already out, I believe. And, yes, he was already out. This was the week before. It was the game the week before, and I didn't go back that far. But, I mean, I don't know, Tony. I mean, it was interesting that he was actually on the injury report the week before, and I don't know if it was kind of a knee issue, then all of a sudden, boom, related to that or not. But, I mean, gosh, here's the thing.
I've never heard of that before. I've never heard of a guy doing both knees at the same time.
And here's the thing. How do you live? How do you rehab? I mean, you got to have help. I mean, you're in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got a serious road ahead of you.
Yeah. You got a tough road to go. I mean, you know, when you've got one good leg, you can use crutches as part of your rehab process. You know, you're working on getting that one back and strengthening it. Derek Newton has a long road ahead of him in the rehab process. But you're right, JP. The Texans offensive line has been in flux with the injury to Derek Newton. Nick Martin, a second-round pick, was going to be their starting center for the year. He's on injured reserve. They do have Dwayne Brown back, and Tony, I think Dwayne Brown is playing pretty well.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. He's been a good player for a long time. Solid in both run and pass. And he hurt his knee against the Jaguars last year when Hayes Pollard came around the corner when he was pulling.
Torn quadricep tendon, I believe.
Yeah, it's not a good one. And but he is he's the best offensive lineman they have. But they have had issues protecting. The run game's been better this year because of Lamar Miller. He's a good back, creates a lot of problems in space for you. But if you get him stopped before he gets started, you know, he's not a big guy. He's more of one of those air backs. And, you know, it'll be a good challenge for the Jaguars defense, who's been pretty good for the most part, except for a couple games against the run.
Yeah, both of the backs that the Texans have, because they'll see some of Alfred Blue as well. If he plays, I think he was on the injury report. I don't know if there's anything serious
we'll get
or
to
not.
That. Yep. Mm-hmm. He was full today.
Okay.
Ribs.
Lamar Miller's a 220-pound back, and Alfred Blue's about a 225-pound back. And both of them are good backs. And Alfred Blue is averaging more than Lamar Miller per carry. So it's not
Jeff,
like –
would you agree, even though Lamar Miller's 225 of his weight, he's not a – he doesn't play as a big back.
No, he's not like Chris
Ivory.
He's more
Ivory. Of that kind of – Yeah, exactly.
He plays, you know, just like T.J. Yeldon. T.J. is not the same type, because T.J. is a little bit more of a slash cutter. But they're both about the same because TJ's 220, 225, but TJ doesn't run like Chris Ivory, like you would expect a 225 back to do, 225 pound back.
Yeah. Hey, we'll come back in our last segment with Tony Boselli. We'll go over the injury report, talk Thursday night football, and pick some games.
I picked the Browns last week.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
No, but I'm picking them this week.
That's not a good choice, Jeff. Let me just tell you.
I'm going to keep picking them.
They had 28 total yards of offense in the second half against Cowboys.
That's not very good.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Join head coach Gus Bradley at the 7th annual McKenzie's Run. A 5K run and walk plus a 1 mile fun run. That's November 19th here at Everbank Field. See Jackson DeVille and the Roar plus an after party with live music and live games. You'll finish inside the stadium and appear on the world's largest video boards. And the run benefits the McKenzie Noel Wilson Foundation and their mission to help young people recognize their full potential. Visit McKenziesRun.org to register. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli is in Baltimore. Let's get to the injury report for the Jaguars today. Jonathan Cyprian back on the practice field. Lower leg injury, did not practice yesterday, on there today. All the rest of these guys are limited. Tashaun Gibson with a hamstring injury.
Management, no big deal.
Miles Jack, hip.
I think he's going to be all right.
Arthur Brown, new to the report today, with an ankle injury. Brandon Linder, hand injury, limited both days this week. Kelvin Beachum, limited. Audric Parnell with a knee, limited. Alan Hearns back on the practice field in a limited role coming off the concussion. Walters did not practice today. Nor did Chris Smith with an eye injury.
I got the impression from reading some of Gus's quotes, I guess today in his press conference, about we need to take care of Alan Hearns. Kind of gives me the impression that he won't be up this week. So, in other words,
you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. So, I think two guys got to step up. Rashad Greene, who we haven't seen in a couple of weeks,
yep.
And I think the guy that's going to step up and play well is Aurelius Ben. He's had and Tony, you saw the film. He was open over the last couple weeks. He had some opportunities, not this past game because he didn't play much, but the week before, he was open sometimes. Now, if the ball was thrown his way, so I like him. I think he's going to do a good job.
Well, you forget he was a second round draft pick coming out of Illinois. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers picked him.
Yep.
And it was just injuries that derailed his career until he got to Jacksonville. And so he's a talented guy. There's no doubt about that. And you look at this receiving core right now, and obviously you want Alan Hearns out there, but watching the way especially the last 4 or 5 weeks have gone, Marquise Lee right now is your number two receiver. And you could argue the last couple weeks has been the most dynamic guy on the field offensively for this team.
I don't think there's any argument here.
No, look, Marquise, when I say – when I'm talking about who I expect to step up, I'm not expecting Aurelius Ben to replace Alan Hearns in the lineup. I'm expecting Marquise Lee, first and foremost, to have now more opportunities, and he's going to take advantage of it. But, you know, when you need that third wide receiver.
Oh, but you need the third receiver. I agree with you 100%, Jeff. I was just making – it's good to – I think if this would have happened in the past with no Hearns, then you're looking like, all right, where do you go for that number two guy?
Yep.
And that's not the question anymore. I mean, you could argue when Hearns is healthy that it should be Marquise Lee if you just go based on how they've been playing on the field and the production you're getting out of the receiver, those top three receivers.
Yeah, and I think Rashad Greene is another – I don't think he's going to contribute much on the offense this year. I think he's a year away. I mean, you go all the way back to training camp, you know, and – I mean, that's where players earn the trust of the coaches is in training camp. And I thought he was pretty quiet in training camp. And now he's got to earn some trust back on special teams alone. So hopefully Aurelius is can stay healthy, and then Allen Hurns can get back to being healthy.
All right, guys, let's touch on Thursday Night Football. We'll pick some games this weekend as well while we're at it. Let's start off with the Cleveland Browns at 0-9. The Ravens were 3-0 after the win over the Jags, then lost four straight before they had a bye week and then regrouped and shut down the Steelers last
year. Yeah, but JP, did anybody believe that the Ravens were worthy of being unbeaten, you know, for the first month of the season? I didn't. Tony, you didn't.
No.
We didn't think they were that good of a team.
Jack should have won the game.
Yeah. I think we both said going into that game, winnable game.
Yeah, they're not very good offensively, and they continue not to be very good. I mean, Joe Flacco is really struggling. He has the second lowest quarterback rating in the NFL. The only one lower is Brock Osweiler, who we'll see this week in Jacksonville. You know, six touchdowns, seven interceptions for him. And so it's a struggle right now offensively. They really can't move the ball very efficiently at all. And the only reason they're even in games, and you look at kind of their, you know, how they win, the defense is really good for the Ravens. And they're playing their second overall in total defense, second, you know, one of the better scoring defenses. I think they're number one on third down defense. I mean, they're really good on that side of the ball. And, Jeff, it goes back to what we saw when we played them. Those two inside guys, Timmy Jernigan, Brandon Williams, and then the linebacker
good
from Alabama, JP, your guy, C.J. Yeah. Mosley.
Roll Tide.
So that kind of triangle in the middle right there, they are dominant.
Good players. Good. You know, the thing that surprises me is the back end. I mean, they've kind of been struggling to find solutions in the secondary in Baltimore for a couple years now. And
ever since Ed Reed left, right?
Well, I don't want to say since Ed Reed left, but, you know, for a number of years they've struggled. You know, now all of a sudden, because they had some struggles when Ed was there at the corner position.
Yeah, okay.
And right now, you know, it seems like they've got it figured out in the back end.
Well, I think a big addition was Eric Weddle. I think he really helps them back there. He's so dynamic, able to do so many different things in the run and the pass. And then Jimmy Smith is healthy. You know, he's a guy who's been beat up throughout his career at times, and he's their number one corner, and he's playing like it. And so I think the combination of him being healthy all year, Weddle coming in, has really improved them on the back end.
And the offense, remember, Joe Flacco had ACL reconstruction surgery. Mm-hmm. And I know that – at what point did he do it last year? Do you remember, Tony?
I want to say it was midseason, Jeff.
Yeah.
And so probably about a year ago from right now, about now.
Yeah, and you should start to
and
see –
And he's still – you know, he's not the same. Right, and I'm not saying he won't get back there. You know, it takes time. But you see him in the pocket. You know, at times he's – ready to, you know, you get around his legs and you start getting in there a little bit, and he feels it, and he will be quick to exit if there's a blitz coming. And he hasn't been as accurate, making really some poor decisions. So it doesn't help. They're not great at the receiver position. I mean, Steve Smith is a guy who's up there in age. He battles, you know, we saw it firsthand. He's a, you know, good slot guy, good inside working the middle of the field, but just lacks the explosiveness that made him one of the best receivers in football when he was at his prime. And then you have, you know, Mike Wallace, who's just a straight-ahead, deep guy. You know, just not a lot of weapons for Joe Flacco to throw the ball to.
All right, so they had Mark Trestman as the offensive coordinator. They fired him, and they promoted somebody else. Who was it?
Marty Morningwig.
Marty Morningwig.
Yeah.
Hadn't been much of a difference.
Detroit Lions head coach.
Yeah.
Well, they're running the ball more now. You know, they threw the ball more than anybody in the NFL last year, and that's just not how the Ravens play football. So they're trying to run the ball more. But that they've had a bunch of injuries up front. You know, Yonda came back last week, but and I haven't got the final injury report, inactives. I should have it somewhere around here pretty quick. But I think the word is that Yonda will be out tonight with the shoulder. So that hurts them. And the rookie – Stanley, the left tackle, who was out 4 weeks with a foot, came back last week and struggled really bad against the Steelers. So they got some issues up front. And then, you know, as far as running the ball, they're not, you know, they're just not real good. I mean, I don't even know how else to say it. You know, Terrence West is their featured back, and he's a nice player, but not going to scare you with anything that he does. So they don't have a lot of answers on the offensive side of the ball, and not a lot of weapons to figure out what those answers would be. But defensively, that they're playing the type of defense that allows them to stay in every game.
Did losing Osemele make that much of a difference to them?
Oh, I think so. I think anytime you lose a top guard like that, it hurts. They drafted Alex Lewis, who starts at left guard now. And he's a nice player, good young player, but he's not Osemele. You know, when you had Osemele and Yanda as your two guards, that gives you a lot, ability to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, sure. You can put a center in there and not worry about it. Take your pick. Two, put JP in there at center. Jay Shadrick, you're in with those guys. Okay, coach, I got it.
Yeah, it would help. You know, it gives you – Jeff, you know this as well as I do. You get really good players, and when you start staying top-end players at their position in the same unit, you can do a lot of things, and you can put a lot of things around them that, you know, they'll cover up.
Yanda is inactive tonight officially, by the way.
Yeah, they're just handing the stuff out here right now. So
let's start with the picks. Teams on bye this week, the Bills, Raiders, Colts,
how'd we do last week?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to that. Last week, I was 6-6. Logs, you were 8-4. Baselli, you were 8-4. So for the season, me and Logaman are identical
we're
records.
Tied, right?
46-37-1. Tony, you're 33-20-1.
Tony's
you've
in
only
the lead.
Picked in 4 weeks.
And the percentage of win, Tony is in the lead, JP, just to interpret that for you.
But what is
don't ask him to do the math.
What's the minimum to qualify, though, for the championship? He might not have enough weeks of qualification.
No. We just said that it would be percentage.
I'm just
of
saying.
Wins. Okay, there's no minimum.
You're just saying because JP. You're in last place.
No, I'm not. I'm tied for second.
Yeah, you are.
Tied
you're
for second.
You're we're tied for last.
All right, Bills, Raiders, Colts, Lions are off. Let's start with this one. Browns winless at the Ravens. I'm going Ravens.
Ravens.
I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't do it to yourself, Jeff.
He did it last week. Didn't work out. Chiefs at the Panthers.
I got the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Panthers.
Okay. I'm going Chiefs on the road.
There's a one for me that I'll get up on y'all.
Okay. Broncos at the Saints in the Dome. I'll take Drew Brees in that one.
Go ahead, Tony. I'm letting you pick.
That's a tough one. Golly. I'm going to go Denver.
Jeffrey?
I'm taking New Orleans.
Yeah, I think I might be wrong on this one.
Might be.
I just don't know. Yeah.
I know
this
you
be a
are.
Good football game.
Yeah.
Rams at the Jets.
Jets.
I'll go Jets, even though they have all kinds of issues. You see the stuff on Muhammad Wilkerson come out this week?
Oh, yeah, missing meetings and didn't play the first quarter last weekend.
How about the fact that he missed the meeting where they got a birthday cake to celebrate his birthday and he didn't show up?
Well, maybe eat the cake anyway?
He might have missed the meeting intentionally, knowing that there was a birthday cake there. You never know.
Yeah,
said he overslept.
Not a good look.
No.
Falcons at the Eagles. I'll take Atlanta.
Yeah, I got Atlanta as well. I think that offense is pretty dang good.
I'm taking Philly.
Bears at the Bucks. Awful game.
Jeez.
I'll take the Bucks at home.
I'm
just
taking
because.
Smitty. I'm not taking Dirk, but I'm taking Smitty.
I got the Bucks.
Packers, Titans in Nashville. I think the Pack gets on track.
The Packers have all kinds of issues.
They do. I'm taking Tennessee. Mm.
I'm going to go to the Packers because I just don't see the Packers going to 4-5. But it wouldn't shock me one bit. I mean, that's a coin flip for me.
You got to take one.
You got to pick one.
I'll take the Packers. I'm going to take the Packers.
Okay. Vikings, speaking of reeling, at the Redskins.
Redskins.
I'm taking the Vikings.
If you can't block anybody, you can't win.
True. I'll go with the Redskins.
Yeah. I'll stick with the Vikings.
Okay.
I'm going Mike Zimmer.
The Chargers are warmed up now. They host the Dolphins.
Chargers.
That's Chargers all day long.
Okay. We're all three in agreement. The 49ers are awful. They're at the Cardinals.
Arizona.
49ers are bad.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Okay. Cowboys Steelers. We'll see if all those youngins
Cowboys
are worth it.
At Steelers?
Yes.
I'll
take the Cowboys just because they're hot.
What are you doing on this one, Tony?
I'm going Steelers. I think the Steelers win this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be with Tony.
I'm going to gain a game. Sunday night football, the Seahawks and the Patriots. What a game that's going to be in Foxborough.
Patriots.
Or not. I'm going Patriots.
I got the Patriots. Let's go. Come on. We got to go.
Okay.
I got to go to work here.
Monday Night Football, the Bengals and the Giants.
Giants.
Okay. I'll do the same.
Bengals.
Okay. Jags, you can get it done this week, Tone?
Yeah, I already told you. I already locked it.
Oh, double. It's a double lock. Deal. I forgot. It's a double lock on Monday.
Win.
I
mean,
me and Joe. Me and Joe have said it. It's done. It is going to be – it'll be the first game of the year where it's going to be a comfortable win, too, in the fourth quarter.
All right, we'll go to work.
All right, boys. See you Sunday at the stadium.
Tony Baselli, analyst, Westwood One Radio from M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. We'll come back and wrap it up.
One of the great places to go in the National Football League. I would tell any Jaguars fan or fans of the NFL, if you ever wanted to travel and go to an opponent's city, Baltimore is highly recommended. It's a great place to go. Great stadium, great environment.
No doubt about that. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of five convenient lots. Tickets start at just $7 and do it this Sunday for the Texans-Jags game. We'll wrap it up after this. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, we appreciate you. And on the Jags app tonight, the simulcast of this radio broadcast, the Jaguars and the Houston Texans. Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff at Everbank Field. Jags home in this stadium for the first time in a while. And they're home against the division-leading Houston Texans team, the first of two meetings this year. And the Texans have dominated the recent series history, 4 in a row, 9 of the last 11. And I believe in 8 of those 9 wins, Houston has won the rushing battle head-to-head. Well, you could say that about most every game in the NFL.
Well, I mean, you know, is that the reason why, or is that a result of having a lead? And
you never know.
Who knows? But the simple fact is that Texans have been, you know, the division champs last year, and they're a good football team, and they're leading the division right now. They're playing good ball, you know, and it's not going to be easy for the Jaguars to beat them. You know, the people say, well, you know, the Texans, the only games they've won have been at home. Well, they've had 3 road games, and guess who they've been against?
Pretty good football teams.
Last time I checked, it was New England, Minnesota, and Denver. Yeah, they're pretty good teams. So I don't think whether it be at home or on the road for the Texans has anything to do with it. I think it's the quality of the opponent. You know, and Baselli was talking about how Osweiler is one of the worst-ranked quarterbacks in the league, which he is 30th in the National Football League passer rating.
Okay.
Blake is 27.
That's right.
Okay, you got a 73.1 rating for Osweiler and 80.1 for Bortles. You've heard me talk about third down passer rating as being very important to a quarterback,
right? I remember that, yes.
Okay, Brock Osweiler, 28th in the National Football League.
That's not good.
No, 68.0.
Not good.
That's his rating.
That's not good.
Blake Bortles.
That's not good either.
31st, 46.8. So Bortles is 21 point whatever less than Osweiler on third down.
Not very good either.
No, that's not good. You know, so for those that might be expecting, you know, a lot of, you know, balls in the air and efficiency and offensive production, and you know, even though you have Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, you know, you're only going to see probably a fraction of the potential of the receivers because the quarterbacks just aren't ready to keep pace.
Yeah, that means you got to get something. If they get to third down, then the defenses are in better shape. But
look, if the Jaguars defense plays like they did against Kansas City, you know, and stops the run, it's going to be very difficult on Brock Osweiler. Very difficult. And Lamar Miller's a good back, but he's not a back that's, you know, he's not a creator. He needs good blocking. He's a good, solid back. And he is 6th in the National Football League in rushing because they hand him the ball a ton, 153 carries already, okay? And as a team, they have 218. I mean, they're committed to the run now.
Yeah, sure.
Especially over the last, you know, 3-4 weeks when all of a sudden Bill O'Brien says, I'm going to take the play-calling duties over. I mean, they have committed to the run. In fact, a couple weeks back when they ended up coming back and winning that close ball game, I want to say it was against Indianapolis, they were down and still running the ball. There, when they were like 2 possessions down, they were still running the football. So they're going to run it. They're going to run it a bunch.
Jaguars would like to play with a lead at some point. They haven't really done that lately. That would change a lot, right? Especially on the defensive side. If you're working with a lead, you can rush the pass a little more. They're going to throw more often. That has not first quarter, they're outscored, what, 27 to 14?
I'm trying to think of the last time.
The yardage is incredible.
I'm trying to think of the last time that this team has had a lead.
Well, they led at the very end of the Chicago
game. No. I'm talking about first half. You know, going in the second half, you got a lead.
I don't know.
Can you think of it, Joe?
I can't remember it. I really can't.
Hollywood, you got any idea?
I can't. I don't – off the top, I don't know if anybody off the top of your head can probably bring that up, even listening right now. It has been that long.
I mean, I know it's been a long time since they have scored on their first possession.
And they were darn close a couple times, remember?
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, but they haven't done it.
They have not.
That would be nice, you know, because a couple reasons why. One, get the fan base, you know, excited. I don't know if excited would be the word, but happy that the offense has been
satisfied.
Productive, yes. You know, because when you're 2-6, it's kind of hard to be, you know, satisfied. But, I mean, you know, look, it would be nice to have some early success offensively to where this it'd be fun to watch this defense rush the passer, you know, with a lead. You know, but like I said, the Texans still play close to the vest, going to run the football and all that kind of stuff. But it would be nice to see how this defense can play a front runner's role. And that's the way the Indianapolis Colts used to do it. I mean, let's see Ngakoue and Dante Fowler just, you know, pinning their ears back and getting after it. And they're just rolling guys through and everybody's getting an opportunity. You know, because Osweiler can't get out of his own way.
Not right now, no.
No, I'm not talking about, a quarterback that's not mobile. He does not have great pocket presence.
He's tall.
If you're a pass, but he's 6'8".
6'8", he's big, yeah.
If you're a pass rusher, this is the kind of quarterback you go, oh, yeah. Because, you know, he's not going to go anywhere. You know what I mean? Some quarterback like Andrew Luck, he just turn and run. Blake Bortles, good pocket presence. You know, the Marinos and the Elways, the subtle moves in the pocket, and they make you, you know, you miss. But Osweiler, he doesn't have it, you know, so as far as the pocket presence goes. So as a pass rusher, you ought to be excited.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see if the Jags can get it done against the Houston Texans. They'll get them again later in the season. And then a couple road games coming up after this again. The Jags are back out to Detroit and Buffalo. Yep. And then 3 home games into the month of December to try to wrap things up here. So that's the schedule ahead.
They need to get on a roll.
Got
to
win the game here.
Start with one, yep. Start with this one, and get on a roll.
You got to have it. Got to have it. So we've said that a lot this year, it seems like, Jeff.
Well, you know, I think, you know, look, here's the thing. You know, you've got the Texans, which, look, they're 5-3, and they're leading the division. Are they a great team? No. The following week, you've got Detroit. That game concerns me because Matt Stafford is playing really well, and they've won 4 out of their last 5. That one concerns me. Buffalo, good running attack, you know, but a winnable game, you know. Denver, Minnesota, tough games.
Yeah, no doubt.
Good defenses. Going to be tough games for this offense now. Real tough games.
We will see you Sunday.
I will see you Sunday.
At Everbank Field.
I will see you.
And I'm going to see you as well. So I'll look forward to that. We're on the air at 10 o'clock with the Publix tailgate.
We have a jar over here. Okay, JP's phone rang during the Gus Bradley show. We have a jar over here to drop your $20 fine in to the jar.
It goes to a great cause, I'm sure. Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman, I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you at the bank on Sunday as the Texans and the Jags meet for the first time of 2 this season. That's it for Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.